I'd like to next just give gratitude to BBS Radio and Don Newsom and Seth over there for giving us this fantastic platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood, which is what I believe Hollywood is for. I have a real treat for you all tonight. His name is Coot Blackson, and he's been on my radar for a few months now, and I've just been enjoying his music, his message, and who he is as a person, and I had the great honor of meeting him in person on Sunday at the Elevate Film Festival, where I just felt like I was going to see him, and I looked up, and he was right in front of me, and there we were. And he's got a wonderful CD out that's called Love Now, and if you go to www.lovenowmusic.com, that's LoveNowMusic.com, you will get a flavor of how wonderful this music is, and I hope you'll wait until we're done with our interview before you do that, because you're going to want to give all your attention to both. And the other email, or actually the other website, is www.kute, which I said cute for the longest time, K-U-T-E, Blackson, B-L-A-C-K-S-O-N, .net. That's kuteblackson.net and www.lovenowmusic.com. So I'll just give you a little brief background on this wonderful human being. And start with the Blackson Group. I've looked for, there's so much information on Coot that I really had trouble pinning it down, so I'm just going to talk about the Blackson Group. The Blackson Group consists of a dynamic team of visionaries passionately committed to evolving the consciousness of the planet. Woohoo! We love that. The Blackson Group provides services and goods dedicated to the transformation and empowerment of individuals, companies, and cultures by utilizing the synthesis of multimedia, live events, and technology, we seek to raise the human experience. The underlying intention is to assist you in getting in touch with who you really are, helping you live your dreams, and creating a successful life that is authentically fulfilling. We are committed to empowering each person to live their fullest potential. True fulfillment doesn't simply come from getting what you want, but from giving who you are. In order to give who you are, you must be in touch with it. Transformational life coach Coot Blackson has designed a series of training, workshops, products, and services that assist each person, no matter from which walk of life, to live fully and to live freely. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on Coot Blackson. Hey, Coot.
Hey there, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for joining us.
It's my honor to be here today.
Yeah, it was one of your quotes is, pick up the instrument that is in your heart and play it fully. I couldn't agree with you more that that's what we're all doing here, is to learn how to do that and for us all to help each other learn how to do that. And I'm sure someone helped you learn how to do that before you started helping others learn how to do that.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Basically, I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. And, you know, my first memories as a young man around age 5 was really impacted by my father, who you could say was my at least first teacher in this human form. He's a healer. So I grew up seeing, you know, him put his hands on people and blind people seeing and deaf people hearing and all sorts of miracles happening. So I always grew up with this sense of possibility, the sense that anything, like literally absolutely anything, was possible. And it was from there that I got to just watch him and observe him and be inspired by him. And, you know, he would always instill in me, less through what he said, but just through his presence, that there is a divinity inside of us. And he would always say that, and I never forgot that. So that he was one of my original teachers, and I've had many incredible teachers around the world, teachers in India, teachers in relationship, many authors that you've probably interviewed and heard about, and they've had a magical, magical impact on my life. So.
Well, you're such a young guy. This all started when you were eight years old, right?
Yeah, basically what happened when I was 8 years old, see, my father has about 300 churches in Africa and one big church in London, and, you know, I was the preacher's kid, so I was basically play soccer in the foyer, which wasn't a great image for my father, so I was dragged into the front of the church one Sunday, and, you know, being an eight-year-old kid, I just started to fall asleep in the midst of the service and the sermon. So one Sunday, my father beckoned to me, and somebody had to wake me up, and I was literally dragged up on stage in front of about 2,500 people, And he just pronounced to the audience that my son's going to be giving the sermon today. So literally, even though I was 8, I had no plan. But I do remember looking out in the audience, and I felt that that was the moment that my destiny came through me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what happened. But I do remember just stuff started to come out of my mouth that I didn't know where it came from. It just emerged. So you could say that was the beginning of my path. And then from there, I just started to read and meditate and read books from everyone, from people you would know about, from the Louise Hayes to the Chopras to the Krishnamurtis to the, you know, on and on. And basically, I was ordained at age 14. And for me, my path was set out for me, like many people.
Yeah.
And I was ordained into my father's ministry with a mandate to take over his churches. And even though I felt a deep calling, Kate, to serve humanity, I always felt deep down that my path wasn't to necessarily impact people through an organizational structure of religion or the church.
Right.
So I went through a little tumultuous time as a teen, because I had all these expectations of, I would say, hundreds of thousands of people on me, and the expectations of my father. And, you know, I realized that one of the reasons I actually agreed to take over my father's church was because, you know, I wanted his love. I wanted his acceptance.
Right.
So I had to come to a real soul-searching cross point. And I feel that, you know, on the journey of life and as we follow our true destiny, we will come to a point where we have to be honest. We will come to a point that will be a pivotal moment, a moment where we will have to cross through the chasm, the fire. So that point arrived for me around 15 years old when I just knew. I just knew my destiny wasn't to impact people through the church. So I just mulled over it for a year, and maybe a year or so later I had to have, I call it my first initiation into manhood, where I had to sit down with my father and just speak the truth to him and tell him that, you know, I love you. And I feel deeply called to serve humanity, but I know it's not through the church. I know it's not through the organization. So at a very young age, after being ordained, I left and I walked away from everything. And it was scary. You know?
It always is. And it sounded like you knew at that age that your calling was much bigger than the church.
I knew it in the depth of my soul. It wasn't anything I could explain with my mind, but it was such a strong thing that to turn away from that knowing, turn away from what I felt deeply, was so painful. It was so, you know, it was just such a contraction to do that, that on one level, even though it was a choice, it wasn't a choice, because I knew that the other path was a form of...
In a box.
In a box, it was a form of death, almost.
Oh.
I was literally killing a part of my spirit. And it saddens me because, you know, one of my passions is to really assist people in living their hearts, living their deepest truths. And, you know, I feel as though part of the reason many of us at times are sometimes depressed or in suffering is because we feel this deeper calling. We feel this deeper, you know, sense of spirit that's seeking to emerge through us, but we deny it. We don't listen to it fully. We don't fully allow it to express out of fear or out of, you know, wanting to please people, whatever the reason is. And it was a very challenging choice for me, and I'm deeply glad I made it.
Well, I want to acknowledge you for the courage that it took to listen to your heart and to pick up that instrument and play it fully for yourself, because when you do that for yourself, it's the only way you can give your gifts to the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And I also acknowledge you for your courage, because it's an inspiration to those who feel that they don't have anything to give to the world because of social stigma or culture has told them they must adhere to the family's wishes.
Yes.
And you broke free from that.
Yes.
And I can tell you personally by experience, I did the same thing. And what's frustrating sometimes for me in being in this place is I can see somebody hurting.
Yes.
And look into them and see the germ. Even if I've never met them, I can feel it. And I can almost put my hands around that germ, but without their willingness, I can't help.
Yes.
That is what really frustrates me in my calling, because you need someone's willingness. They have free will, and that's not something to be tampered with. And what I'd like to hear from you, Coot, since I want to ask Coot, I know you have that on your website, and I didn't have time to ask Coot on the website, so I'll ask you on the air.
Go for it.
what would you say to a person if they said, how do you get someone to become willing? My purpose on this planet, for me, is to find a way, a formula, a voice, a language to help the entire planet become willing to get back to its divinity.
You know, that's a really interesting question. One thing I would say is that one of the first steps to, I think, transformation or even shifting from unwilling to willing is to be conscious and be so honest with oneself as to where you're not willing.
Mm-hmm.
And to really be willing to speak the truth about where am I not willing. And I've just found in working with clients, many of us, we tell ourselves, yes, I'm willing. We actually say, yes, I want to transform. Yes, I'm willing. Mm-hmm. But we're really not.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're really afraid. Or we're actually invested for whatever the reason in staying where we are. Maybe it's comfortable. Maybe it's safe. Maybe, you know, we're in a sort of comfort zone and we know what we have versus jumping into the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that one of the things is to first be really, really honest as to where you're currently at.
Mm-hmm.
And tell the truth to yourself about that. And maybe that truth is, wow, you know, I'm not willing.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than lying to oneself or unconsciously tricking the mind, you know, sometimes the mind will play tricks on us.
Yes.
And then we end up going round and round in circles, and by not really speaking the truth to ourselves about where we're actually at, we don't actually get to really deal with what that underlying fear might be and work through it.
Yes.
So I would say the first step is to be really, really honest, and if it's that I'm not willing, say, I'm not willing.
Yes.
And just to actually say it and confess it, then we can actually feel what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very painful.
Mm-hmm.
But to really be willing to feel the pain of one's resistance,
mm-hmm.
to really be willing to feel the pain of where one is resisting God, one is resisting the next level, one is resisting one's dream, one is resisting, you know, expansion,
mm-hmm.
is painful.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to tell ourselves the truth about that first, even access the pain.
And that takes a lot of courage.
It takes tremendous courage.
It's like a rebirth, as a matter of fact.
It takes so much courage to really be alive.
Yes, it does.
And to feel that, because from that place, things will start shifting. From that place, we'll start feeling things that aren't particularly comfortable. But I feel like that's the first step.
Yes.
You know, that's the first step. Because in that place, we might feel, wow, I'm really not happy with my life. Or, wow, I'm really comfortable where I'm at, or I'm really dissatisfied. But to me, that is the portal to transformation.
Yes, and I have a term I just was given to me, actually is divinely given to me, is a fearless healing. Because if you're fearless and you're healing, you'll be willing to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unless you're
absolutely willing
to be uncomfortable,
yes.
you can't grow.
Yes, and it might even include, you know, the fear.
Yes.
I also believe that fearlessness is a beautiful state, and also embracing the fear and still including that and still moving forward is also
yes.
an expansion.
Yes, and that for me is what fearless healing actually means. I'm going through acupuncture right now for the issues in my tissues, and I have to tell you that I got some needles put in some places that were blocked with stagnant emotions, burnt so much.
Yes.
A childbirth seemed like a cakewalk compared to those needles.
Yeah.
And I still stayed with it. I breathed through it. I didn't say, take that needle out of there. I just let it stay, and I breathed into it until it calmed itself, and it opened up so many channels.
You know, you said something really interesting, that it hurts so much, Kate, you know, when you put those needles in.
Mm-hmm.
And I also find, too, that it hurts to actually resist what's seeking to happen, to actually resist that transformation you were talking about, that
mm-hmm.
willing to resist. You know, if we resist, it actually can hurt even more.
Yes.
Because then we're stuck feeling the pain of, wow, I am resisting life. I'm holding on. I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to control. I'm just in a contracted struggle with what's seeking to emerge. So it actually can hurt even more to resist than to actually, which is what you did with the needles, to surrender into that process.
That was a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I did it, and I'm so grateful I did, and I'll do it again and again and again until, you know, I get where it is I'm hoping to get, which is, there's nowhere to get, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to be living.
Yes.
And to live freely. And there's so much of your message, Coot, that I resonate with. Mm-hmm. I feel, here's my personal belief system.
Yes.
Is that I believe we incarnate in soul groups. Mm-hmm. And I believe throughout our incarnations that we reunite with the soul group that we incarnated with. Mm-hmm. And there are people you meet where you just feel an instant soul connection with them.
Yes.
And I felt that with you.
Yeah.
And I feel that with many, many, many other people. Mm-hmm. And you know it when it happens. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when you reconnect with your soul group that you incarnated with, that you're coming together to do great work.
Mm-hmm.
And to be luminaries and light workers.
Yeah.
In the world, and with a specific mission and a purpose. Mm-hmm. That you cannot access until you figure out what it is, mm-hmm. until you name it, like mm-hmm. naming where you're resistant, naming where you're not ready,
seeing
it, declare it out loud, get it out there where it can be in your awareness.
Absolutely.
Which is half the solution.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you name it, you find your purpose, and when you're living your purpose, mm-hmm. the universe shows up to support it every time, and all of your physical needs will be provided for.
Absolutely.
You will but believe that.
Yeah.
So I really love what you're doing, and with your diverse background, I see that in your future and in your present, you're a global person and a global healer. I believe you were built for it, and your background is completely supporting that, and there is nowhere you can't go, nothing you can't be, and nothing you can't do. And that's the truth for all of us. If we would just take that on and believe it, we would see that it's true. And really, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Except fear and resistance.
Yeah, yeah.
So living life fully is the greatest gift we can give to the planet, I believe.
Absolutely. You know, I love to ask people the question, you know, what if today was the last day of your life? You know, what if today, this day right now, was the last day of your life?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's ungiven? What have you not lived? What's held back? What regrets are present? And to actually take a moment to feel that, because the truth is, Kate, you know, we never know when that day is going to come. Now, we all have a sense of destiny in a sense that we have a lot to do, and we never actually are guaranteed, you know, how long we're going to be on this lovely planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to really feel that and to really seize each moment, to not wait, and that's one of the reasons I was inspired to create, you talked about the Love Now music CD,
mm-hmm.
is to really inspire people to live now, but most importantly, to love now.
Yes.
And to really seize this moment that is so precious. And why is it that we wait until our loved ones are perhaps dead and passed away, and we're standing at the funeral, and then finally, in that moment, we're gushing how much we love them? Why do we wait for
mm-hmm.
that moment to give flowers? Why do we wait for that moment to throw a party?
Mm-hmm.
Why not do it right now, in
mm-hmm.
this moment?
Mm-hmm.
So I always ask people, you know, what if today was the last day, and to feel what's ungiven?
Mm-hmm.
What have we not lived?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another question I love to ask people is, you know, are you ready to die?
Mm-hmm.
And not from a morbid place.
No,
but
it's
from
not
a place,
why not?
Yeah, but from a place of facing, just purely facing the inherent reality of death. And I feel that when we face that, we also actually open ourselves to the magnificent beauty of life that's right here in this moment.
Right.
And if we can't say, yes, I'm ready, take me, I'm ready, because I'm giving everything, my question would be, then how would we actually need to rearrange our time? How would we actually need to rearrange our relationships? How would we actually need to rearrange our priorities and our lives so that at any given moment we are ready? Because we're actually fully giving ourselves moment to moment to moment to moment
mm-hmm.
to moment right
mm-hmm.
now.
I love your disclaimer in the beginning of your CD. Would you like to tell the listeners what that is?
Well, the disclaimer is it goes... Off the top of my head, it goes something like, this is a warning. The music you're about to listen to might change your life. You know, the effects might be ecstasy and bliss, something
mm-hmm.
to that effect.
Yeah, when I heard it saying, warning, the music you're about to hear will change your life, and you will never be the same.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, that's true.
Mm.
Hearing that CD from start to finish.
Yeah.
Caused me to do things, say things, believe things, hear things differently.
Mm.
And I'm in a process right now of of making shifts and speaking my truth to the point where, you know, that point where the hot oil in the pan gets so hot when you put the popcorn in that the popcorn starts popping?
Yes.
I'm in that popping stage where things are starting to go off. And, you know, unless the oil gets really, really hot, it's not going to pop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And it's a little crazy.
Yes.
And because you don't know where those things are going to fly out to.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, hearing your CD caused me to get into a place of it felt like a downward spiral in the beginning, and now I'm starting to see it as an upward spiral.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way change can happen.
Yeah.
If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting.
Absolutely.
And I started doing things differently. I started being bold and courageous in my speaking and my feelings and my sharing. And I got outside of my fear. There are things I said to people I was terrified of, and nobody died.
Wow.
And I feel so much better. And then I was listening to the song, What If Today Was the Last Day of Your Life? And I thought to myself, I would have said those things I just said to get them out of me and out there where they can actually make a difference.
Yes.
And I just feel so much better for that. And I meant it, too. And it's not things that a person wants to hear, the things that I said.
Mm-hmm.
They're things that are just boldly honest, and they came from my knower, and they didn't come from my ego.
Mm.
And you know the difference when that happens. Ego, my acronym for it is Edging God Out.
Yeah.
And my acronym for Satan is Seeing All Things as Negative. And truly, it is like that. And when you're being present, like you say, what if today was the last day of your life? You are being in the moment. You are being who you fully are. If you thought that the next moment you wouldn't be here, you would completely relax and surrender and be at peace.
And we would just offer what's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would say what's there. We would give what's there. We would love now.
Yeah, really. And authenticity doesn't mean you always have to be nice.
Yeah.
Okay. It means you're always telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point where you need to be tactful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, always telling your truth and always being who you really are. Mm-hmm. As long as you do that, someone will come along to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what the world needs to hear. And what do you think pioneers are?
Mm-hmm.
They're people who did it different.
Mm-hmm.
They're people who went places no one else went,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to those places.
Yeah.
What's the greatest place for you, Coot, that you're going to that's different from any other philosophy that you've encountered?
Mm. You know, that's a deep question, Kate.
I like those.
For me, one edge that I'm, you could say, stretching into is after studying and having teachers and being around saints and gurus and teachers and masters is a real process of letting go. But letting go deeper than I've done in the past, letting go of concepts and ideas and any sort of identities of preconceived ideas of what life should look like, what this should look like, and totally, you could say, relaxing into the flow of life. And it feels like living life as a free fall. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Where rather than, you know, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to make it happen, it, you know, where I feel like what's emerging for me is to totally let go and allow myself to be, how can I say, to be completely taken by life and see what happens, almost as an experiment, to actually see what happens when I actually just let go rather than try and make life happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that on one level, it's scary, but, you know, people like Miles Davis, you talk about pioneers earlier on, people like Miles Davis, they crossed over.
Yeah.
You know, he let go of that typical pattern, that 1-2-3-4-5-step jazz musical groove, to a whole nother unknown space where he was falling and something just, boom, emerged through him. So for me, it's daring and wanting to be bold in living like that, and actually without a, not going to say without a plan, but without a grip on what I think life is and what I think is going to happen, and just surrender so deeply to feel what emerges.
You know, I'm really, really interested in what you said about Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, about, 25 years ago, slow danced with Miles Davis twice.
Oh, my goodness.
He was playing a venue, and during the break, they put on some really great music. And he came over, walked right over to me, and asked me to dance. And I was sitting with my husband, and my husband said, go, dance with him. That's Miles Davis. And I was like, okay, I didn't know Miles Davis until that night. He just wanted to introduce me to this great jazz. And the feeling I had from the energy that Miles Davis had, he was so comfortable in his own skin. He was absolutely certain of himself. He just resonated pure energy, and you could just feel the God all around him.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of life he lived, and it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
It's who he was being that was so remarkable. So when you mentioned him, it brought me back to that feeling I had when I slow danced with him those two times. And, you know, when he passed away, I just sensed the light going out in the world. But his music stays to keep on inspiring us.
And
I'm really, really happy you mentioned Miles Davis. That was a nice thing to do for him.
Yeah, he pioneered a whole new way of jazz that emerged beyond the mind.
Yes.
And, you know, my kind of inspiration is, what if we actually dare to live that way?
Yes.
Or we dare to let go of the certain repetitive patterns of who we think we are and what's worked and what hasn't worked, and we just open to life.
Do you feel that more and more people are coming around to that, Coot?
I really feel that it is happening.
Yes.
Where we're beginning to realize the limitations of the mind. We're beginning to realize the limitations of the old paradigm, the kind of ego-based way where we create our life from just me, my own sort of will. And we're beginning to realize the limitations of that. And I think with the economy the way it's going, with all of the turmoil that's happening around the world, it's forcing us a little bit, slowly but surely, to let go. And it's taking us deeper into, I think, surrendering.
I love to play with words, and when I heard you say realize those few times, I just want to tell you how I spell that. I spell that R-E-A-L-E-Y-E-S. When you see with your real eyes.
Real eyes.
With who you really are.
Who we really are. Not who we think we are.
Yes.
And, you know, we've been conditioned that we're this, but the question I love to ask people too is, who are you? Who are you really? Beyond what you've been told, beyond the body, beyond your conditioning, beyond the past, who are you really?
Yes.
And as we get in touch with that, there is something deeper that begins to open up. When we really bring ourselves in harmony with who we are, I find that nature itself, life itself, begins to emerge through us and begins to live us as we realize that we are actually one with that.
And I agree with you 100%, and I'd like to know if you can tell our listeners at least 5 action steps to get to that place.
Sure. I would say that to me the most important thing, or at least one of the most important things, is to take time to be in stillness. To take time each day to simply sit, to quieten the mind, to allow the mind to relax down, and to be in stillness. Then we can allow our awareness to drop beyond the typical activity of the mind, from the surface of the mind to that deeper space that is the depth of our being. And at that place, we're connected with everything and everyone. And I feel like as we take that time in the stillness, the universe will begin to speak to us. As we take that time in the stillness, the impulse of life begins to emerge. As we take that time in the stillness, we begin to connect with what's actually seeking to happen, not what we think should happen, not who we think we should be, but what's actually seeking to happen from the intelligence of life itself. So I say taking time in that stillness to me is the bottom line in a certain sense. And from there, everything emerges. Then when we set our goals aren't just based on our past conditioning of what we think we should go for or what we think is going to make us happy. But our goals then are based on something way deeper. They're not even just simply our goals, but they emerge as the impulse of life. And then we can create our goals around something much deeper than that. You could say our spirit, our soul, whatever it is that's seeking to manifest. And then we can take action that is aligned, truly aligned with Source itself. And then we're in the flow. And then when we act, we're totally in the flow. So I would say the most important thing is, if there were one thing, is to take time in the stillness every day to make oneself truly available to life itself.
And do you have a practice of a certain amount of minutes that you do that?
Yeah, you know, usually about twice a day, Kay, I just take time to sit. And it's an effortless thing where I just sit 20, 25 minutes a day in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening sometime, where there's nothing I actually do in that time. If anything, it's an undoing where I just sit, I just take time, and just sit. Don't impose anything, don't try and breathe anyway. you know, we're so often in our culture, there's so much imposed on us. Be this way, be that way, act this way, breathe that way, don't do that, say that. So to actually give ourselves the space to relax and sit,
yes,
there is a naturalness that's already there. That if we just create that space, we begin to relax and we begin to start connecting with that true nature inside of us. So I sit for about 20 to 25 minutes twice a day, and it's profound.
Oh, yeah. When you connect to source energy, you become a sorcerer.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's how Esther Hicks invoked Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we connect to that source, that's the depth of our being, we realize that in that actual depth, we are one with everything. We are one with everything and everyone. So from that place, you could almost say there's nothing to actually, there's no separation, and there's nothing to even attract out there. It actually it emerges from inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So in that place, you know, we begin to bring ourselves into alignment with a whole network of interconnected synchronicity that we actually are. So everything, it's not even an attraction, it's an emergence.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I believe, too, that in the unseen, we're all one. We're all connected.
Absolutely.
Unseen.
Absolutely.
And to sit and be still is a great way to connect with the unseen. And one thing I know about myself is that I live 80% of the time at least in the non-physical, in the unseen, and the other 20% in the physical.
Mm.
And it's quite an awakening when you know so much in the unseen realm and you're in the physical and you're looking around and saying, well, you know, from the unseen side of things, things are really easy. And then you get into the physical side of things and they become so complex and complicated. And, you know, people are unreachable. And in the unseen, there is no ego.
Yeah.
We're all one being. We're all one energy, one source. And that just feels so delicious. And to be in the physical, it's like, for me, I feel like a little baby sometimes coming from the non-physical back to the physical to try to figure out how can I help awaken?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help cause willingness where there isn't any?
Mm.
And then I have to know that it's not up to me.
That's right. That's
it is not up
point.
To me. It is up to perfect timing for that individual.
Yep.
And
life knows. You know, life has an intelligence.
Yes.
Life has an intelligence that was here before us, is functioning us all and living and breathing us all right now.
Mm-hmm.
And even once this physical body is gone, that same life intelligence will be continuing.
Oh, yes. You can't destroy energy.
It knows.
Yes.
Yeah. And if we're just willing to surrender to that and let go to that, I feel as though we begin to tap into a whole nother stream of energy that then begins to do the work through us. That begins to actually manifest through us. And then from that place in the physical, life becomes kind of simple. That doesn't mean there aren't some challenges. That doesn't mean there aren't some blocks along the way in the 3D world. But, you know, more and more, I speak for myself, as busy as I've been lately, I was just telling a friend the other day, Kate, that even though I feel like I'm working 24/7 and just sharing my heart and love with people in the world, it really feels as though I'm doing nothing.
Right, you can't tell if you're working or playing.
It really feels, I don't feel as though I'm doing it. It really just feels as though it's coming through.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a question for Coot.
Yes.
Okay. Do you agree that if a person needs to learn a lesson in their life, let's say, for instance, as I was just sharing with you, that it's very frustrating for me to see what's going on and know I could help if a person was just willing and knowing that it's not up to me to make them willing.
Yes.
Would you agree that it could be a lesson that I need to learn in my life by these people showing up in my life who are not willing?
I would say that is a real possibility.
Right.
You know, absolutely.
We attract what we most need to learn.
We attract what we most need to learn, but they're also, you know, you could say to some degree in reverse, teaching you a level of deeper acceptance.
Thank you.
You know, a level of deeper acceptance to, on one level, it's perfect as it is.
Yes.
On another level, that doesn't mean you don't do your part. It's like two realities. We do our part, but also seeing the perfection of life as it is, because the reality is in this free 3D world,
mm-hmm.
that's life in the relative. I say to some degree in the relative, there's no such thing as perfection. There's illness. People die. Relationships end. There's rain, there's snow, there's sleet, car accidents, war. There's no such thing as a utopian perfection.
Right.
And on a personality level, as much as we heal ourselves and do therapy and do workshops and go to seminars and elevate our consciousness and meditate, the personality, you know, that we are won't be perfect either in a perfect utopian sense. And if we're able to not resist that and to accept that fully, I feel as though in that moment, what's there, exactly as we are, exactly as life is, without any resistance, it's perfect.
Right.
You know, there's a perfection we begin getting in touch with as we start embracing life as it is.
Right.
And one of those things is where we start to realize, wow, I don't know. You know, I don't know what this person really needs to be experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what my brother or my sister or my, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kind of an opening of, I'm not going to say, you know, humility, but a willingness to embrace I don't know, a sort of humility that arises where, well, I don't know, you know. I don't know what's right for this person. That doesn't mean you may not have insight, but there's another level of openness. And in that space, it's perfect.
Right, right. Now, what would you say to our listeners, Coot, if they have people in their, if they're out there doing their best, living their best self for all of their awareness, the absolute ultimate that they're able to get to for where they are in that moment, they're living their best self, and because it's not fitting the pattern of the family system the way it used to be, they've stepped outside the family system to go for a higher expansion in their life, and the family system doesn't understand that, so the family system attacks them and tells them that they've lost their mind and gone off the deep end because they're risking and they're growing and they're expanding far beyond the family structure.
Yes.
What would you say to our listeners who are going through that kind of an attack? It feels like an attack. What would you say to them?
I would say it's not personal. It really isn't personal. And if you can really get that, you can also really be in compassion for where the family is at. Because where they're at is not where you're at. And if you can really get that it's not personal, you can just hold the space to be in compassion. It might mean a shift in the physical dynamic of the relationship. It may mean you're not around them.
Yes.
But it is not personal. And if you really stay true to what's seeking to happen, to that path, and just hold the space without imposing your own, you know, vision or new ideas on your family either, but you can just hold them and really accept them as they are.
Mm-hmm.
It starts shifting your relationship with your family, which creates a space where you can just love them as they are and have no expectation that they should be any different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then it just frees you up to actually just enjoy them as they are for what they are in that moment.
Right. And do you feel that when that dynamic is in place, that the family structure is trying to pull the person who's expanding back into the old system?
Yeah.
And you just stay true to
it's important you stay true to what you know. You stay true to your heart with humility. And there's no reason to even fight the family system.
Right.
There's no reason to argue with them. There's no reason to prove anything to them, to be right. And that's why I say, accept them.
Mm-hmm.
Accept them. If you can accept that they don't accept you and just be in that space, it creates a space where the fighting ends.
Right. There's no resistance.
There's no resistance.
Yes.
And in that space, something shifts.
Mm-hmm.
In that acceptance, something shifts.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I'm glad I asked the question. Now, what would you want our listeners to know about the most dynamic thing you offer to them as a life coach?
Wow. You know, one of the things, you said the most dynamic, was that right, Kate?
Yes, you're quite dynamic. I know you're going to have to pick the best one, but I can.
One of the things that, there's many things I do, such as, you know, speaking in companies and corporations and working one-on-one with people in the States and around the world, and the CD, the Love Now CD, of course. But one of the things, when you said the most dynamic, one of the things that really stirs my heart the most when you say that is I created an experience that I call the Liberation Intensive.
Oh, yes, I know about that.
Oh, boy. So I would say, when you say most dynamic,
yeah, that one is
dynamic, but that is something that really warms my heart when you ask that question. And I'll just share a little bit about that. Basically,
can I say the way it occurs for me first?
Go for it.
You can correct me?
Yes.
Okay. You take 15 days to take a person across India,
yes,
with only one change of clothes.
Yes.
You carry their passport. You,
yes,
keep their money.
Yes.
They let go of their identity,
yes,
and life as they know it, and,
yes,
trust themselves to your hands.
That's pretty right on, Kate. you have it down.
That's pretty dynamic, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but you know, I was inspired to create the Liberation Intensive about 2.5 years ago, when I was feeling into my life and my edge, and again, I was sitting in silence meditating one day, and I just felt this emergence of spirit saying, create this process now. And I traveled to India about 8 years ago, and I was on the back of a train on the third class section in the poorest state in India, where even some of the Indians don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the back of this train for about 8 hours, Kate, and literally I was just weeping my eyes out,
mm-hmm,
because it was as though I was just right there, face to face, shoulder to shoulder, smelling and being with, I would say, the poorest people in the world.
Right.
And I remember there was a woman there with 5 kids, and they were sick, and they were sweating, and my heart broke to feel the suffering of humanity on the other side of the wall.
Right.
And there was another moment when I was in tears, but then the next moment I looked into this woman's eyes, and she looked into my eyes. And in that moment, it was as though there was a oneness. What was looking was exactly what was looking, and my heart broke in the sense of compassion. And in that moment, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if the leaders of the world, if George Bush, if the president of Nike, if the president of such and such company, if world leaders were actually on this train having this experience,
right,
how would that impact their sense of self? How would that impact their leadership? So it was literally out of that, my own experience there, that I decided to create the Liberation Experience, which is, as you said, it's a 2-week, 14-day, 24/7, nonstop, transformational coaching process that I designed, where I take one person, it's one-on-one, and I take away your passport, I take away your money, and you're stuck with me for 2 weeks. And literally, I feel into where your biggest and deepest limitations are on opening, on loving, on wherever those layers, those blockages are, and I create processes. And the journey brings up spontaneously processes, and I put you in situations that will trigger your deeper stuff, and then we work you through that. And
awesome.
You know, I take a person into the biggest slum in Asia. We watch bodies burning. We're on planes, trains, and it's a radical dynamic process.
And do you take more than one person at a time?
The reason I think it's so powerful is it's one-on-one.
Ah,
so,
gotcha.
So you can't hide.
Yeah, well, I if you're open to my comment about something you said.
Yes.
You said that your heart was broken. Your heart was broken as you saw all this and felt all this and experienced all this,
yes,
and from where I'm sitting, I see that your heart wasn't broken so much as it was expanded.
It was broken open.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
and
broken.
And that's the liberation of it.
It was broken open.
Yes,
yeah.
Wonderful.
And the Liberation Experience is really designed to really get you in touch with who you are and free you of the conditioning and identities that sometimes we live inside of that create this prison. And it's a dynamic process.
If you don't go within, you're going to go without, and that's a fact.
Absolutely.
So the websites for Coot are www.cootblackson.net. That's www.cootblackson.net. And for his CD, please listen to the song on this website, www.lovenowmusic.com. LoveNowMusic.com. I think that the song that you have on your website, Coot, should,
yeah,
be on the BBS radio rotation.
Lovely. Let's do it.
They play some of the most amazing stuff on BBS radio. And I'm going to put Don Newsom, who's the owner of BBS radio, his twin brother, Doug Newsom, handles the music.
Great.
I'm going to put you on his radar and see what comes of that.
Great.
Because it seems like something wants to manifest there.
You're magical.
Yes, and I believe that Inspire Me Now actually already contacted you.
Yes.
Inspire Me Today.
Yes.
Good. I can hardly wait to hear your experience of that, and I want you to share it with me.
I look forward to that.
Good. And I just want to say to the listeners that, you know, I was just saying earlier today to my beloved that if one person thought for 15 minutes that they were the one that could ignite consciousness on this planet. Mm-hmm. Only 15 minutes out of their entire lifespan, if they would believe that it is them that could ignite consciousness on this planet, it would be a different world.
Yeah.
And 15 minutes of your time is nothing to vibrate that kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
And when you vibrate at that kind of intensity, you're building a bridge to the unseen that will bring you your heart's desires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this going deep within and this sitting silently is to you, right, Coot?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a very, very powerful thing. And, you know, I can say from experience that, you know, your father showed you that you could have, do, and be anything you choose.
Yes.
And for me, it was a piece of silly putty. When I was 3 years old, I made a piece of silly putty disappear. And when I did it like 300 times abracadabra, and it finally really did, and I could pass the polygraph test that I made it disappear finally just out of sheer tenacity.
Wow.
And I believed and believed and believed, and I was sitting on a hot grate on the floor in Canada in the winter, and I was made to sit there for punishment, and I found a piece of silly putty, and to occupy myself, I went into the unseen realm as a three-year-old and caused that silly putty to disappear, and from that moment forward, I knew that I could bring the meta to the physical and the physical to the meta. And I've been doing that my entire life, and I was raised in such a way that I have seen hell on earth, and I know that heaven is a place called earth, if you believe that it is. And there's something to be said for a belief system. It can be what I call BS, which is belief system of the not-so empowering kind, and then there's belief system of the empowering kind. And I'm just really grateful, Coot, that you listened to your calling and that your father had the wherewithal to raise you the way that he did and that you were rebellious enough to listen to your own heart and go against what was expected of you to become the person that you are because, you know, there are flowers and there are full-on bouquets and you are a bouquet of absolute goodness from what I can tell. And your CD that you made tells so much about you, and I would encourage everybody listening to do yourself a favor and get a copy of this CD and listen to it. You know, even if you listen to it once a week, that's really enriching, and we've been listening to it every day.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and our little nine-year-old is loving the songs and song, and it's getting inside of her, and
yes.
She's repeating it, and
yes.
After we started hearing your music, I said, hey, I know what we can do. Why don't we take a whole bunch of $1 bills and take some envelopes and write a note that says somebody loves you today or your health issue will work out or the person you love loves you in return or hang in there or the money you need is looking for you and just put that note in with a dollar and then put on the front of the envelope to someone special. And we did that to 11 envelopes and went and put them on windshield wipers.
Yeah, that's what you call loving now.
Yeah.
It's
and
real
we did
simple.
That, yeah, all night. And,
yeah.
And we did this with the nine-year-old, and we had a blast.
Mm.
It was intoxicating.
Mm.
And, you know, we're going to just make that a regular practice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we're going to be taking her to feed the homeless on Sunday after we take her to Disneyland Saturday. And, you know, just these kinds of principles to me are very, very important for raising children.
Yeah. You know, if we were, and it's so beautiful you say that, if we were as a culture as committed, you know, we're so committed to making money, we're so committed to looking good, we're so committed to all these other things, but if we were that committed to loving, we would just transform our culture.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And that's really, in my small way, you know, this radio show every Tuesday is such an honor and a privilege to get to put my voice out in the frequency and whoever listens, if it's one person or the world, it's just such an honor to get to say what's in my heart and to speak my truth and to have people like you on the show to let people know that what they're feeling is legitimate and it's validated. And, you know, everybody's got a hero's heart. There's something in their heart that they know they can do that they're not telling anyone about. I mean, isn't it best just to say that to someone, to tell someone what their dream is?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how would you tell them to go about that, Coot? The
you
people
know,
who are most afraid.
People that are most afraid?
Yeah.
I would say number one is to ask yourself that question we started with. What if today was the last day of your life?
Yeah.
And to really almost meditate on that, to feel that, to really feel it, to let it touch you, and to feel if today was the last day, what's ungiven? What's unliving? What's unliving? What's unexpressed? What regrets do you have? And to let yourself be impacted by that feeling. Because if you really do feel that, it will start to move you. And I would also encourage your listeners with this question. And the question is to sit with what is one action step that you as a listener could take? What is one phone call? What is one step that you could make to love, to express loving in your life? That it doesn't need to be some big complex thing. It doesn't need to be saving the world. But there are so many opportunities to express our gifts, to express our hearts, to express our loving that are right in front of us, right there, each moment, whether it's opening the door, whether it's a hello, whether it's a gesture, a look, whether it's in the grocery store. Each moment is a sacred opportunity that is not just going to the temple and worshiping Jesus or meditating on the Buddha, but it's right here, right now, as we go through our lives with our children and our wives and our husbands, that we actually have an opportunity to live a little bit of our heart's purpose right there with them.
Right, right. And what I'm hearing you say is you can take that word impossible and turn it into I'm possible.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
And nobody needs to get anywhere. They can just start from right where they're at.
Start right here.
And if they had a consciousness shift, a new mantra for themselves, what would you say? Just speak what's there for you. I have one. I'd like to hear what yours is.
You know, I would just encourage each person to let the mantra be something like, I surrender.
Beautiful.
And I'm available.
Right.
To life.
And I, the way I started was to say, up until now. Up until now. And saying up until now really helps you let go of the past paradigm that you thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, I used to be this. Up until now, I used to do that. Up until now. Because now is a springboard for all the things that you can be and all of your possibility. Up until now. So surrender is really the first thing that it takes.
Yes.
A willingness.
Yes.
That willingness that we spoke of.
Yes. That's the first step.
Yeah, and it's like in my meditation, I'm just going to see a world that's full of willingness
mm-hmm.
for opening their heart. Because, you know, a lot of people deal with pain in very, very different ways. Some people let pain heal them. Some people let pain kill them. Some people let pain run their life. And it's pain is here to serve us and to bring us wisdom. And when you can really get behind that concept, then you start looking at everything different and start seeing what is the perfection in this. And what my beloved loves to do is to put on the top of his gratitude his greatest challenge of the day, the top of his gratitude list. And I believe that's a very good practice. So I want to thank you, Coot, for being my guest tonight, for being in the world, for following your calling, for making that great CD and all the wonderful ones you will make.
Thank you, Kate.
And it was such a pleasure to see you at the Elevate Film Festival and to see your wonderful music video up on that gigantic screen.
It was magical being there.
Oh, my gosh. And it was so great to see you up there, too, knowing you're going to be on the show tonight. So I sent out the promo for the show to a lot of the people that were there that day. And hopefully they're all listening now. And I wish you hundreds of thousands of CD sales.
Oh, thank you.
Because that the vibration that comes out of that music that you've put together is very, very healing, transformative, and the disclaimer in the beginning of that C is absolutely accurate. If you listen to this music, your life will be changed forever. And if you're ready for that, then get the CD and share it with your friends. Christmas is coming up. Get a copy. Give it to your loved ones. It will make a giant impact. You can believe that. And Coot, I'm going to ask you in the last minute of our Spiritual Hollywood Hour, something I ask all my guests, and that is just very impromptu, trusting yourself completely. Just spill out, if you would, what's in your heart right now.
What's in my heart is, let's be bold. Let's be bold in this magical adventure of life. Let's free fall. Let's live and create as deeply, as radically as possible. Let's allow ourselves to be so pressed and open and lived by spirit, by the universe, that in that moment, that our entire beingness erupt and explode and vibrate as love itself.
Amen, a woman, and a me. Well said. Thank you so much.
It's been my joy being with you, Kate.
Yes, and I just want to invite everybody to stand up really tall, take a really deep breath, and love yourself. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get into action and create the life that you love. And find that instrument in your heart. Take it up and play it fully. Thanks, everyone. Good night, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.